Tuesday. Today is August the 13th, and you're listening to My Farm. Recently, the EPA confirmed investigations of biofuel producers using waste cooking oil. This has got a lot of attention when it comes to renewable fuel standards and what feedstocks are being used, and also what counts as low carbon inputs when it comes to the Clean Air Act. We'll share the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has been auditing biofuel companies to see where they're sourcing waste cooking oils as feedstock after the agency back in 2023 updated renewable fuel standards accounting practices for companies earning biofuel credits. Now in July of 2024, the European Commission announced an anti-dumping tariff of 36% on biodiesel imports from China, that in part because of suspicions that China had slipped palm oil into the cooking oil supplies. Palm oil is considered to be more carbon intensive as a feedstock than cooking oil. Now the EPA investigates where appropriate, according to a news release they issued, whether feedstocks used to produce renewable fuels, including used cooking oil, qualify under the Renewable Fuel Standards Program's EPA spokesman said. The EPA has conducted inspections of renewable fuel producers, which would include, among others, an evaluation of the locations that used cooking oil is used in renewable fuel production and it was collected. These investigations, however, are ongoing, and we're not able to discuss ongoing enforcement investigations, including the number of inspection facilities identified to date, they said. The inspections and follow-up investigations are part of the EPA's, quote, routine evaluation of the Renewable Fuel Standard compliance under the Clean Air Act and, quote, reflect the agency's commitment to a stable renewable fuel standard program that strengthens the nation's energy independence, advances low-carbon fuels, and supports agricultural communities. Now, a DTN lead analyst, Todd Haltman, said the growing popularity of using waste cooking oil to produce biofuels is bringing scrutiny. For a little context, used cooking oil falls into the, quote, yellow grease category in the Energy Department's monthly report of biofuel feedstocks that are used. In the first 5 months of 2024, the most recent data that we would have, yellow grease used to make biofuels averaged 610 million pounds per month. That's up 17% from the same period a year ago. By comparison, soybean oil used to make biofuels only averaged 1.004 billion pounds, that in the first 5 months of 2024. That was up 3% from the same period a year earlier. Now, used cooking oil and tallow have seen significant gains as feedstocks used to make biofuels during the past 18 months. Sustainable aviation fuel guidelines released in late April make used cooking oil an especially popular feedstock, Haltman said, as it has one of the lowest carbon scores of eligible feedstocks. Because it's considered a, quote, waste product, it does not have the same burdensome production requirements found with corn ethanol and soybean oil, he said. There's also the temptation for used cooking oil providers to find inexpensive ways to turn soybean oil into used cooking oil. Last month, several agricultural interest groups asked U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to include a domestic feedstock requirement in the upcoming guidance on that 45Z clean fuel production tax credit. The letter signed by the American Farm Bureau Federation, National Corn Growers Association, National Farmers Union, and the American Soybean Association said that without such a requirement, the benefits of this policy, quote, are at risk of being diverted from the American farmers. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, a meat processing facility is soon going to be able to expand thanks to a recent USDA grant award and potential economic opportunities expected then for the local community. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
A potential ground-level example of the impacts of USDA's meat and poultry expansion program.
It's a multiplying effect that this investment that USDA Rural Development is making.
That investment, according to Undersecretary for Rural Development Basil Gooden, is in the form of a $1.5 million MPEP grant, recently awarded to J.M. Watkins, located near the village of Plum City, Wisconsin. According to Brandon Clare of J.M. Watkins,
we plan to build a new facility. We're going to triple our size. Hopefully we can increase our capacity by about 50 to 75% of the animals we can harvest.
Construction begins this month on the project, with completion expected by next spring. In terms of what the MPEP grant means to the expansion of processing operations through this new facility,
our retail is about 6 feet wide by about 12 feet long. Our new retail is going to be about 20 by 40. And we're going to have a drive-through for people to pick up fresh meat and call ahead and swing by. It'll be ready for them when they get there.
A larger operating space is not just about expanded operations. It also equates to employment opportunity.
We're thinking right now it would probably be another 5 or 6 full-time employees, because our building that we're in is 124 years old. It was really never set up for a meat locker. So just with the employees we have in a new efficient building, we could probably cut an extra 5 beef a week.
As well as diversification of product to be harvested and sold through modernized equipment.
Long Ago Ranch, they're planning to bring in their bison into our store. We will also be offering locally raised bison from them in our store.
The increased economic opportunity for J.M. Watkins and communities it serves, such as Plum City, population almost 600 within its village limits, while it involves not just the new processing plant or the expanding list of providers of meat animals for new product. Claire says there is also such opportunity to be found within the existing J.M. Watkins building.
Our building that we're in Plum City, we're floating around some ideas of maybe a restaurant, maybe a commercial kitchen that you could rent out if you had projects that you wanted to do but you needed a commercial kitchen. We do have a fair amount of cold storage, so that would be beneficial. And there's been talk about maybe cutting deer in that building during the deer hunting season.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.